Welcome to the Not Another Leadership podcast, where you, the leaders at the University of Tennessee, drive the discussion and craft the conversations. This is not just another run-of-the-mill leadership podcast. Our goal is to bring you curated content that matters to you. In today's episode, you will get to hear an engaging discussion that I was privileged to have with Dr. Mary Lukel regarding the importance of providing and receiving feedback as leaders. Well, thank you, Dr. Mary Lukel, for joining us today. You are our Associate Vice Chancellor here in Human Resources, and we had the privilege of listening to you share a session with us back in February on this topic of feedback and radical candor. It was a great session. So many people really provided us feedback of how it benefited them, and it's impacting the leadership that they're able to provide in their positions here at UT. And so I just wanted to take a moment to have this conversation with you and really record us so that other people could, maybe if they weren't able to attend the session, maybe they can have some benefit based on this topic, just through this podcast opportunity. So would you like to say anything about yourself or the session and what you experienced with us?
Well, I really enjoyed myself spending time with some of our emerging leaders. I think the group was incredibly insightful, and it drove home to me, our conversation drove home to me, that we have to keep talking about giving feedback and receiving feedback on this campus, because I sort of anecdotally hear that it can sometimes not be our leaders' greatest strength. And our employees really crave that. And our leaders want to know how to do it because it gives them some level of anxiety. So I really appreciate our opportunities like the new leader program, where we can come together and be a little bit vulnerable together and keep improving our practice around that topic.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really like what you said. It's not just giving feedback, but how we receive the feedback as well. And both sides of that conversation are equally important.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, during the workshop, you asked us to think about and share some experiences regarding feedback that we had received, and maybe some that we had actually provided to some of the people that we lead. And the discussion that we had was tons. It was filled of people's experience. It was very intriguing to hear everybody's experiences. So as our listeners today are kind of thinking through their feedback experiences, can you share with us your experiences with feedback?
I'd be happy to. And you can't see me on the podcast, but I'm smiling quite a bit because I'd like to talk about both sides of that coin. So I am incredibly fortunate that I have worked for leaders during my career who gave me radically candid feedback, some of it pinched. And I can remember all of those instances, and I can count them on my hand. So only five fingers here. So I can only think of five or fewer instances over a course of, let's just say, more than 20 years, when my leaders have cared about me enough to give me really constructive and radically candid feedback. And it's so interesting. So I'm sure I've gotten tons of feedback over the years, but the ones that I remember were that radically candid type. And I remember them to this day. Some of them were over 20 years ago. And I can say that it probably took a lot of courage on those leaders' behalves, but it came from a place of care, which is really, really the foundation of Kim Scott's book, Radical Candor. It would not have resonated or mattered or stuck in my mind 20 years later if it didn't come from someone with whom I had a trust relationship. On the flip side of the coin, on the giving feedback side, I am a creature that I just described, someone who early in my leadership career had great anxiety about giving feedback. It was probably made more complicated by the fact that the first time I led and had to do it, I was providing feedback for people easily twice my age, people of all genders, different ages, different identity groups. And I think sometimes those things add levels of complexity to feedback. But the fundamental truth that I have lived is that you can learn to do it better and better throughout your career with practice. I was, as I shared with the group, when I first started doing this, my hands would shake. I would get this terrible flush from my, you know, chest up to my neck and my ears, and it was really awful. But I had prepared well, I had notes, I almost probably read from a script early in my early days. And now, not that I do it in a flippant manner and an unprepared manner, but I do it in a way where I feel confident because I actually do care about the people that I give that type of real meaty feedback. I'm taking my time because I really care about them, and I feel it's my job to help them improve their practice. But yes, I'm a product of, you can start out not doing this very well, and if you practice, you can get better.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so I remember some of the feedback that I had received early on in regards to how to give particularly difficult feedback, and how just caring for people is just so important, and making sure that they know that you actually did care about them. They weren't just another employee ID number, that they are an actual individual. And that was so valuable to me. I want to look ahead a little bit and think through what you just talked about there in regards to really the amount of care and the trust relationships that that you have to have with your employees, or with just different individuals. Maybe it's providing feedback to a colleague at the same level. Maybe it's not one of your direct reports, but feedback comes from everywhere. And the importance of the relationships that are built on trust. So without, you know, necessarily summarizing, you know, the book Radical Candor, you know, can you explain for us why you think that those relationships that are built on trust are so crucial to the feedback process?
Absolutely. And I think to answer this question, I would ask listeners to sort of picture in your mind one of your best friends. Like, think about that person in your life who's a really good friend, and someone that you would say something like this to. Can I ask you a question? Would you give me like your honest opinion about it? Now, yeah. Usually that is followed by, how do you like my new haircut? Or, you know, does this color look good on me? Or, you know, do you think I'm making a bad decision in my life? But if you sort of lay that type of relationship, if you could pick it up and scooch it over into the workplace, I'm not saying that we should strive to be best friends with everybody that we work with. That's not, I don't think that's a reasonable goal, nor necessarily one we should strive for. But those are the types of relationships, those are the types of truth tellers that we have to have in our lives. But think of what goes into feeding and forming those kinds of trust relationships. It's time, it's effort, it's care, it's thoughtfulness. The same thing, in my opinion, applies in your work relationships that you try to form. And leaders, I think, if you want to establish trust, you have to put in some of the same kind of time and effort that you do with people in your personal life, to whom you can give truth and from whom you can receive truth. So it's not as if, and I sort of giggled with our group the other day, it's not like you can read this book and go back to the office and start flinging out radical candor. I promise you it will not be received well. The most impactful part of the book for me is the fact that we have to feed and nurture those relationships first before we even think about providing that kind of critical feedback.
Yeah, that's great. You know, one of the things that you had said during the session that I really wanted to kind of go back and talk about, it just stood out, and was that feedback is one of the hardest skills for a leader, but it pays the most dividends over the course of their career. And I think most listeners could agree that giving feedback, it's absolutely difficult and it is a hard skill to learn. But can you explain or just provide some insight into how that feedback can pay great dividends throughout a leader's career?
Oh my gosh, I'd be happy to. And I think sort of foundationally, I think sometimes when we hear the word feedback, we jump to thinking about performance feedback, like this is a heavy conversation. Yes, that can be part of it and is part of it for a leader, but feedback happens all day long. For example, I'll give a funny example. I have a colleague that helps me with my calendar, and she has given me feedback in the past that was really powerful. She said, to manage your calendar well, I need more detail from you. I need, how important is this? How long does it need to be? Where does the meeting need to be? What topic do you want me to put on the meeting invitation? Which completely transformed the way, the efficiency with which we could work together, because I wasn't helping her do her job very well because I was being too vague. And so it was, you know, we have had the opportunity to work with one another for many years. So we had that trust relationship where she could say that to me and I could say, oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that. Oh, I just lost my train of thought. Oh, so yes, your question was how does it happen across your life? So probably early in my career, I was receiving more of it. I think as an early career person, we're not really in the habit of giving our colleagues feedback or giving our managers feedback, though, you know, I hope that changes a little bit as time goes by. But I think early I was more in the receiving mode as I was a young professional and learning my trade. As I began to lead people, yes, I had to shift a little bit more in that learning to give it. And again, I have to say I was really fortunate to have a couple of directors in my path that gave feedback to me in a really thoughtful way. And it can be as basic as hiring a new person and going through their position description with them and them asking questions and you bouncing things around. That's a kind of feedback. It's not performance-based. There's no problem. Nothing's wrong. I think if you make feedback sort of normalized, people can handle it better. So for example, the example I gave about my colleague and my calendar, her doing that, I was so appreciative because that means she can give me more feedback on another occasion and I can give her feedback and it's okay. We're not hurting each other. We're really striving to be better together. I would say that of course the hardest part is when you have to give performance feedback. That still gives me butterflies. I still have to do it from time to time. I'm not afraid to do it. And I think I do a better job of it because I know that I need to do it from a place of caring. And if I don't care very much about that person, I'm not the right person to give that kind of feedback to the person. But yes, I mean, it certainly shows up in all facets of my career. I just recently had my own performance with my vice chancellor. I received some, you know, very complimentary feedback. Always appreciate that. I actually also got constructive feedback, which I appreciated 100% more because it gave me something to come back and talk to my team about and to make us better. It's really rare to get that. I have to say it shows me that he cares about me, cares enough to think that through and deliver it to me in a way that is very impactful. I've been thinking about it for a week since I got it last week. So again, I bet that's going to stand out in my mind as one of those moments in my career where somebody cared enough to give me that feedback. So that was a really long answer, but yeah, it has popped up all through my career, and I hope and I know that it will continue to.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, so many times, especially people that are not as familiar with the book Radical Candor, where they think about this radically candid feedback, they might think it's this brutal process and having to provide so much hard, constructive, and just being brutal and blunt. And that's not it at all. And we recently did a different session just on recognition. And that's a level of feedback. The way that you recognize people, it helps show that you care. It proves.
Absence of feedback suggests something. The absence of recognition and feedback suggests the opposite, right?
Oh my goodness. And that's something that you actually talked about during our session was, and then we discussed it as a group. When you're not giving feedback, what does that cause in our heads? As somebody that I report up to someone, if I get no feedback, what does that mean? Like, that's it's almost a scary place to be.
Yeah, you don't feel like you are on firm footing in some regard. Am I doing well? Am I not? You know, do you care about what I'm doing? Yeah, and I mean, in these days of, you know, we have to do a very good job and a better job, I think, historically than we have done as organizations to make sure that employees make an affirmative choice to come back to us day after day. It's almost, you know, like American Airlines, you get on, they say, we know you have a lot of carriers to choose from. I have said, you've heard it in my staff meeting, you know, just being funny, said, right. I realize you have a lot of employers to choose from. I'm so grateful that you have chosen this one and you continue to choose it. We have to do a better job on recognition and thanking people and acknowledging their hard work, because people do have other places and other choices, and they're really thinking through how they want to spend their work lives. So this is a great and timely topic that we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. So for those of us who may feel extremely challenged when we're needing to provide that feedback, it's scary. We get the dry mouth. Our hands are shaking. We've been there, done that. And I would say that most people who have had to give feedback, particularly the constructive feedback side of things or the performance feedback, which somebody may not receive too well, or it may just be challenging for them to hear. Can you give us some ways that we can practice giving feedback so that we as leaders can improve our own skills and our confidence throughout that process?
Yes, I've sort of two things come to mind. Number one, don't wait to start giving feedback until it's like one of these really tough moments.
Yeah.
Like it would be like learning to drive at the Indy 500. Not really a great idea. So I think practicing the ability to do so with people with whom you have a trust relationship, on small things, on things where there's not a lot of, sort of emotional import or heavy impact. You know, just like the example that I gave, I have a colleague here that I've worked with for years, and there's a topic here that she's clearly more the expert on, and we were on a Zoom, and I decided I was going to chime in on something that I really didn't know that much about. And she was nice enough after the Zoom to come into my office and close the door and say, we either need to get you, you know, more knowledgeable, or you need to sort of maybe defer to others in these Zoom meetings on this topic.
Yeah.
That person reports to me. I really appreciated that. We have a long trust relationship, so she knew she was not risking anything, but it was, you know, the stakes are not high. It's a relatively small meaningless, but it's not a big deal. But she gave me feedback. I accepted it in the way in which it was intended. So again, she's sort of practicing low risk feedback with me. So she knows we're building that relationship. So if the big thing comes, we can talk through it.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. Sort of like practice low stakes feedback to just get more comfortable with it. And number two, this is sort of a plea to your audience. When you know you have an issue and you know you need to give feedback as a leader, there is one option that you have that I beg you not to exercise, and that is avoiding giving the feedback. We are very much socialized in this country to avoid conflict, avoid hurting other people's feelings, or quote unquote getting into their business. We kind of have to unlearn a little bit of that to do this part of our jobs well. Bullet point out the things that you need to say. Write them on a piece of paper. And by golly, if you have to read your bullet points and get that feedback delivered in a humane and kind way. It may not be appreciated. But hopefully, again, if you've spent some time developing the trust relationship, even though sometimes feedback, you know, we cannot enforce the way someone emotionally responds to our feedback. Your job is still to give that feedback as a leader on this campus. And the next time you do it, you may still be writing bullets, but now you've had some practice. You might change the way that you do it the next time just a little bit. And over the course of the years of your leadership career, you're going to get better at this. I think the final frontier for a leader is, how do you accept critical feedback? How do you handle radically candid feedback? Because it's all great for me to say, like, oh, I like feedback. You know, some of that I've gotten over the course of my career that was a little harder to take, I had to really kind of think through that and process through that. It was not easy because, you know, we take our work really seriously. We think we do a pretty darn good job. And when somebody says, hey, you're kind of lacking it in this area, that's hard to take. But if you want to create a culture of feedback, you have to prepare yourself that to model the behavior of accepting, incorporating, and handling feedback. So I guess I threw in a third thing, but those are kind of the three things that come to mind for me.
Yeah, I think that's so interesting to really think through the receiving feedback part. And as a leader, when you're wanting to establish that culture of feedback, thinking through, you know, how am I opening up the space for my colleagues, the people who I'm leading, you know, our direct reports, or even from our leader, how are we establishing a culture to where we're going to be receptive of that and not become defensive or take it too personally? It's an opportunity for us to realize and for somebody else to kind of show us what are some ways that we can grow and develop ourselves. And I think that goes back to how it impacts our careers. When we're able to take that and have that self-reflection and then be able to apply that to improve on ourselves and our skills and all of those things, how much better off are we and our teams for that?
And I'll give you a sort of a short story that, again, this was over 10 years ago. And I guess the older you get, you start thinking on these things. But I had a director of human resources that I worked for. Great guy, wonderful, nice person, very supportive. And he decided he was going to do a 360 evaluation of himself. So he gave all of his direct reports this evaluation. And, you know, we all filled it out, gave honest feedback. Well, the next week we got called to a meeting and actually he stood there and kind of yelled at us for about 30 minutes about the feedback. I will tell you, it was years before I would participate in another leader's 360 feedback. It made quite an impression on me. So again, I'm just another employee like everybody else on this campus. And I can tell you, if the leader is sort of not, practicing what they preach, that is very harmful to an organization. So for the leaders listening to this, if there's something about this that resonates that maybe you're not quite as ready to accept the feedback, I would really urge you to come in and get some coaching from one of our coaches, from you, Brian, just to work on that area one-on-one with a coach, and then dip your foot in the pool with the people around you, your colleagues or your direct reports. Again, start with low stakes types of feedback and build up your own skill at receiving feedback.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Mary, I want to thank you for your time today and the great discussion that we've had. We've talked about the importance of feedback and what radically candid feedback is, and just the importance of just that, ultimately the foundation of that being the trust relationship, and how you have that with everybody that is within your circle. I've learned so much just being a participant at your session, and I encourage others to attend the, you know, any future sessions. But just I know that others have benefited greatly. We see it in the responses, and so thank you so much for spending just some time this morning to come out and let other people know what radical feedback is.
Thank you, Brian, and I always appreciate the chance to have conversations like this. It gives me a moment to reflect on my own practice. So that's always very valuable for me. So thank you for inviting me.
All right, thank you. As we wrap up this episode of the Not Another Leadership Podcast, I want to thank you for your commitment to your leadership development and the leadership that you provide our university. I hope you will check out our new Leader Advantage website and the resources available at utk.edu/LOD. Go Vols.